if you would, turn to the book of Psalms, 127th division. I'll walk you through some scriptures this morning. Amen. Book or the psalm reads starting with the first verse. If the Lord does not build a house, then those who build it work in vain. If the Lord does not guard a city, and the watchman stands guard in vain. It is vain for you to rise early, come home late, and work so hard for your food. Yes, he can provide for those whom he loves even when they sleep. You may be seated. What the world says and what the word says, but the subtitle is, who is he? Before we can begin to dissect the world and the word, you have to begin to understand your position in him. In other words, if you don't know who God is, then this series is irrelevant. If you can't begin to imagine why he would write what he would write and expect for you to do these things, then this is pretty much words floating on air. Who is he? Right. Who is he in your life? And how much impact does he have on your life? Throughout the Word of God, they carefully dissect who he is. But if you haven't read the pages, then you don't understand and you still don't know who he is. Yes, so the question is, who is he? Not who is he to me. Who is he to you? Because your walk is not based on my knowledge of him. Your walk is based on your knowledge of who he is. David was very familiar with him, and we went over that a couple of weeks ago. But let me show you some stuff, and I just want you to pay attention. Revelations 1:8. Very first chapter says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come. Now, between that, there's nothing. Alpha, first letter of the Greek alphabet, Omega, last. So in between is all encompassing of who he is. He is Alpha and Omega. He is the first and the last. He is the beginning and the end. So he clarifies 100% who he is. But he don't do it just one time. At the end of the book, Revelation 22:13 says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. So he opens up with it and he ends with it to let you know that I am who I said I am. Do you understand where I'm coming from? He is your start and your stop. Do you realize that none of us are here without him? I know on your birthday you want to thank your mama and your daddy. But your mama and your daddy are only vessels for why you are here. It is because God has allowed your one little egg to become into existence for a purpose. And you got to begin to understand you're not here by osmosis, you're not here by chance, or because you were just lucky enough to be there. He is Before you was in your mother's womb, he did what? He knew us. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was what? With God. And the Word was God. Let that beginning go. The beginning. We have no beginning without God. And even if I go back to the very first book and the very first chapter and the very first verse to the very first part of the verse, it says, in the beginning, God. How do you get around that? Because if you can get around it, then it really don't matter what the Word says. I was looking on the papers and there's a scientist over in England who says there is no God. And science can prove there is no God. And he's in a wheelchair, paraplegic. So he has a hard time believing in God. But if you would listen to him long enough, you would realize that he is a fool talking. The smarter we get, the dumber we are. So you got to understand that Your brain creates, okay? Your brain creates, but where does it create from? Only from what you what? No. The Bible says we know in part. We prophesy in part. Because we don't know it all. We have our limited resources, and from that, we like to deny that there is a God. Because there are questions that we what? Just cannot answer. And so if I can't answer, there has to be something that I can create. That's why the brain becomes dangerous, because it begins to think beyond who you really are. Who is he? Exodus 3:11 through 14 says, and Moses said unto God, who am I? Who am I? Now, he was tasked to go and set the people free. But he couldn't go under his own power. And he couldn't go under his own name. So he said, who am I? See, we think we somebody. The smarter we get, the more we know, we believe that we are somebody. And so he asked a question that says, who am I? And I like, because what happens is God flips to who am I? Let's keep reading. That I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. And he says, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and say unto them, the God of your fathers have sent me unto you, and that they shall say to me, who is this name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, what? I am that I am. So God says, I am. Moses says, am I? Uh-huh. Who am I? God says, I am. See, man has a question of who he is. God didn't study. He said, I am that I am. So in other words, you go let them know that I am has sent you. See, while you are, who am I? I am the I am. Therefore, I am the one who from the foundations of the world put all this in motion. So you can tell them to rest assured that God has sent you. Who is he to you? When you wake up in the morning, who is God to you? Is he a giver? Is he a gimme, gimme, gimme? Mine, mine, mine. That's what the world says. The world says we ought to do what? Take care of our own needs. Don't matter who you step on to get to where you're going. The world says that you can be your own God. You are God unto yourselves. You are created beings who can create. That's why we're trying to clone everything right now. That's why we're trying to deny there is no God. It's because we believe that we are smarter than the heavens. We don't understand who I am is, and the reason why we don't understand who he is because it requires some effort and some work on our part. Why do we come to church? We come to church to hear God's word. Is that right? Or is that truly right? Do we come to hear what he has to say to us? And then are we willing to receive what he says? Because sometimes what he says from the pulpit is not what I like to hear. And so then do you get mad at the preacher or do you get mad at God? Isn't it my position to come and to speak for God? Is it my message or is it God's message? What am I but a voice? What did John say? I'm a voice crying out in the wilderness. So if I'm a voice, that means that I'm not a brain.
All right.
I'm not creating. A voice simply puts out what's already there. So John says, don't get this thing twisted. I'm just a voice from God.
Right.
Crying in the wilderness to show you somebody who you need to know.
Well.
Do you cry out for God? Do you weep while you're working, on the job, with your friends? Do they know that you're a Christian? Do they know that you love the Lord? Can they feel you? Or do they see something different? Or are they surprised when you say, I go to church? Who is he? Who is he in your life? And does he have the power to fix some bad situations?
Uh-oh.
Children of Israel was in a bad situation.
Yes, sir.
And I am came through. Was it on their timetable? Absolutely not. This is when you know who God is. God's timetable does not coincide with ours. See, we want to get out of the mess yesterday.
Yeah.
God said you need to simmer for a while.
Uh-huh.
Let you get out too fast, you ain't going to know who I am.
Well.
And the reason why you need to know who he is because you got more trials coming. And you got folks who are watching you.
Yeah.
And they want to know how you respond when the trouble comes.
All right.
But if you always trying to get out of the trouble
because
you don't want no part of the trouble, you have, or we have, no growth process. People say, well, you know, when I got saved, I thought everything was supposed to be wonderful. Well, obviously, you haven't read the Word of God. Because when Jesus was born, there wasn't nothing wonderful about his birth other than the fact that the Savior was being born. He didn't even have a nice crib to lay in. His walk was full of controversy. His death was the greatest of all time. So if we are associated with Christ, who said it was going to be a bed of roses? Especially when Satan wants you to fail. We talked on Wednesday about the demons that sit outside our homes. Can you imagine rolling up to your house? Big old demon on the front step. You trying to get in, but he ain't going to let you in. If you really could see him. Because just because you can't see him don't mean he ain't there. And so I try to draw their mind to understand that right there on the door or the front porch or on the top of the roof right before the doorway. Jealousy, lust, envy, just sitting right there on your house. And you're trying to figure out why you and your husband are arguing. He just trying to get in. Well, as long as y'all fussing and you opening the door, you ain't closed it fast enough because you're too busy fussing. So who you think sneaks up in there but old Slewfoot? To make matters even worse, when you come to service on Sunday, who you think occupying the empty seats? Oh, you don't think you came in by yourself, do you? There are demons in this room right now trying to block the message, trying to make sure you don't hear the teaching. And there are angels in here too. Question is, who you letting get through to you? Well, just because you can't see don't mean it ain't there. Well, remember, what you think you know, you really don't know. Who is he? Well, as I begin to dissect what the world says versus what the word says, in order for you to really understand and give in, you have to identify who God is in your life. Does he make it happen for you? Last week, Dr. Morton came and he said, "I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." And everybody said, "Oh, what a blessing. Oh, how wonderful." And he was disturbed, and rightfully so, because we have become complacent with our God and what he does and what he means to us. But he said, if you go to the mosque and they greet you in the name of Allah and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the whole place is in uproar, standing, giving praise to Allah. But when we mention Jesus' name, oh, how wonderful, how marvelous. The mosque is full to capacity. Jehovah's Witness is full to capacity. The Mormons are full to capacity. But the Church of Jesus, oh, how wonderful. Such a marvelous, I'm so blessed, so highly favored. But do you know who he is? Well, I'm clapping, aren't I? No, you're not clapping. You're patronizing him. Because he's greater than this. But when we fall asleep on him, we don't understand who he is. If the word of God says, do not be unevenly yoked, that's a marvelous thing. But I like him. And he likes me. See, the reason with that is that as long as Jesus is here, you're going to keep doing what you want to do and not pay attention to what his word says. But when the word of God says, do not be unevenly yoked, and it comes from Jesus Christ, the risen Savior. Just that blocking sound alone will stop the enemy from getting in. Because he has preeminence in your life. It's how you process who he is. If he says to remain sober, but you still like to drink. You can't block nothing from getting in because you aren't giving him what? Praise. See, if you begin to give him praise, it's hard for the enemy to sneak in, because if you're so busy doing this, the enemy ain't got time to get in and find no way out, because you got too much going on in your life. Love your neighbors. That's nice, Lord. Refrain from fornication and adultery. That's wonderful. But I got needs too. Study the Word of God. That's appropriate. But I got a mystery novel, a romance novel that I'm reading. Bless God as God has blessed you back. Well, that's just wonderful. But I ain't got enough to do both. And so nothing is sinking in, because you don't understand that he is the I am. Don't you understand that there's nothing on the other side of I am? There's nothing between it, around it, above it, or under it. I am that I am. I don't know anything that you can fit in that statement other than the fact that he is God. He said, in the beginning, God. His very first words to us, his very first letter, in the beginning, God. But we don't follow him like we should. But how many want a blessing from him?
All right, well, come on.
How many want him there when they're praying over their loved ones on their sick beds? How many want him to protect their children when they leave out of the house every morning? How many want them to make sure he has food on my table, roof over my head, clothes on my back, shoes on my feet? How many want him for that? How many want him to put $1 million in their pockets? I know, because you're still playing the lottery. Dealing in chance. I am, there's no chance in I am. There's chance in maybe. You just tell them that maybe sent you. Maybe I'm God. No, he said, I am. So I am, it got nothing to do with chance or luck. But while you playing them, you sure praying. Lord, if you just let these numbers hit, I'm going to be so wonderful. I know I ain't paid no tithes in a while, but I'm going to give you back all that I ever had. Lord, if you just bring me on home this time, I promise to do more better. Who is he? Well, over the next several weeks, we're going to examine what the world says versus what the Word says. And we're going to deal on the issues that you have placed in that box. And if you have not put none in there, continue to put them in there. But I hope that by the end of this series, you'll be stronger in him. Not only stronger in him, but you'll help others to be stronger in him. And it all starts with who he is to you. Amen. That baby letting you know he is. Don't let the enemy fool you or trick you. There are demons at your front step. There are demons sitting right next to you. But if you belong to God, you got your angels right there too. The question is, who are you going to be listening to? Now, let me tell you this. The only way you can hear the angels who report back to who?
God.
And God give them charge over who? So if you're going to listen to them, you got to know they're there. And you got to get into his word so he can communicate to you. We talked about it Wednesday that there are times when I'm lost and I'm confused and I don't know where I'm going, but I open up the word of God and I begin to read. And as I read the word, he begins to talk to me. People say, he don't talk to you, ain't read his word. With the power of knowing that he's inside of me. So when I'm in trouble, yes, he does talk through the word.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And he speaks loud and clear if you're listening. So we go get caught up. We get so caught up in who's doing what and why they doing it or where I go here or where I go there that we're missing the message, which is quite simple. God is. I am. Nobody exists without God. The world begs to differ. But what does the church say? And where do you stand up on that? You can't stand up if you don't have a defense. And you don't have a defense if you ain't in his word. Let me just touch this and I'm done for the day. The church has been called to marry homosexuals. And they say we need to be more liberal, more loving, more understanding. I've read the word, and it didn't say nothing about that. Now, if he had made Adam and Steve, okay. He didn't. He made man. And he made woman, took the woman out of man, and said, you two shall be what? One. Together you can love and do what? Create. Two men and two women can't do nothing except lust. The difference between love and pleasure. And so when it comes to the church that you have to marry these individuals, I stop at the door. Because I know who he is. I don't care what you do or what you say, it's not realistic and it ain't going to happen. Where do you stand? On your principles, on your values, on your morals, on your goals. Where do you stand when it comes to the word of God? And can you relate what you believe back to the word? The very first scripture I read, Psalm 127. And I'm going to close with this. If the Lord, God, I am, that I am, does not build a house, then those who build it work in vain. So you trying to combat the world and you don't know who God is, you're fighting for nothing. If the Lord does not guard a city, then the watchman stands guard in vain. If he ain't on your corners and on your perimeters, keeping a hedge of protection around you, you're going to die. You're going to fail. Let me help you out. You don't have a prayer without God. And the illusion is that you do because you seem somewhat successful. I don't care the greatest success in this world. And I use Oprah Winfrey. I don't know her religion. I know she got a whole lot of stuff going on with her. But she's a billionaire. But if she don't know Jesus as Savior, she'd be a broke billionaire in hell. It is vain for you to rise early and come home late. And work so hard for your food. Yes, he can provide for those whom he loves. Even when they what? Now, I don't know about y'all. But I need somebody who can cover me while I ain't even covering myself. So in other words, he tells us to go to sleep. I got this thing. So if you sitting there pacing the halls and wondering and worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow, he's telling you, I got you covered. Go to sleep. I'm on the throne 24/7. In other words, I'm not coming off the throne, even though you acting a fool. Go to sleep. Brian, just go to sleep. Hey, but Lord, go to sleep. But they ain't go to sleep. But what about go to sleep? I got a new day waiting for you tomorrow morning. And just because yesterday was messed up, don't mean tomorrow will. They say weeping may endure for a night, but joy come in the morning. Because I am is on the throne. And as long as he's there, I'm going to stay right here on the pulpit. I'm going to keep being a voice. I'm going to keep sounding out about how good God is. Even when you sick and tired of me, God said, you don't keep preaching, son. I won't call you home until I'm done with you. Remember when Elijah. Thank you, Lord. He was the only prophet. Said, Lord, I'm the only one out here. He said, you must be crazy. You ain't ever the only man I got out there. You ain't ever the only preacher, the only pastor, the only. You are not the only one. I got 1,000 more that look just like you. All you got to remember is that give me what belongs to me. I'll take care of the rest. Go to sleep. And I'll see y'all next Sunday. Doors of the church are open this morning.